wish to greet you this morning in the name of our risen Christ, the one who has ascended far above all principalities and powers, the one who we were just crowning with many crowns. We were singing that, and I trust that is our desire this morning. I was thinking of a message for this morning. My mind, Thursday was Ascension Day, and my thoughts were going in line of that throughout the week, different times, and reading about it. Thinking about meditating on that this morning. So that's simply what the title of the message is, Ascension Day Meditations. And so you can follow along as we think about different things of the importance of Jesus' ascension. And just doing a little research, I just wondered what different people said, and so I kind of Googled it. And one thought was that it's the forgotten festival of the church. Now, we don't have festivals per se, but we do commemorate Easter. We commemorate Christmas. Usually have a sermon in line with those as they go through. But not so much. You don't see Ascension Day commemorated in the same way as some of the other special days of Christianity. But that's just a little background as I was studying through it. It is not something that is every gospel talks about, as some of the happenings in Jesus' life or in the such as Jesus' birth. Only two of the gospels actually mention it. And that is in Mark 16, 19 and 20. Then after that the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So Mark just brings that in. Luke 24, 50 to 53. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. And then you can turn now to Acts chapter 1, where Luke follows this up with a little more in-depth talk about the ascension. So Acts chapter 1, we'll read the first 12 verses. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto them, unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive by his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Holy Father, of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up with a cloud, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner that ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. One thing we see in these verses, and it is brought out how that his resurrection, it says that he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. And then as we look at his ascension into heaven, it says he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And one thing I had to think about was that these, the resurrection and the ascension were both physical and visible events. People observed it. People saw Jesus after the resurrection, and they also saw him while he was going, while he ascended into heaven. And so it was indisputable in their minds as to what actually happened to Jesus. He did rise again, and he was taken out of heaven. And they did see the angel, which told them that he was coming back, like they had seen him gone. And so his return will also be a physical and visible event. It's not going to be something that we're not sure about. When Jesus comes again, we will see it. And those who are, and there's many other scriptures that bring that out as well. But it's just one thing to thought about as we're thinking about these, his ascension. It's not something that took place where they all of a sudden realized he was gone and they had no idea where he went. They knew where he had went, and they received the promise of him coming again. So, what are some meditations and observations we can make with Jesus' ascension? And these, we're going to look at different scriptures that talk about Jesus and how he went away, he ascended to his Father, and what that means to us today. Number one, Jesus' ascension marked the completion of his work in salvation's plan. He came for a purpose. He didn't come here randomly and didn't know what was going on. No, he came for a reason. He was here for a reason. As Jesus neared the end of his life, he said in John 17, he was talking here to his disciples, he says, he was basically praying, I think, at this point in 17, he says, I have glorified thee on earth, I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. Now, he had not yet been crucified, but his work here on earth was basically done. He had committed himself to the work that God had, the Father had for him, and he knew that that work was as good as done at this point. And he was glorifying God, and he was asking God, you see me through this. Glorify your work through this. Hebrews 1:1-4, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And then we could go on to Hebrews 10:11-13. And every high priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for the sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting to his enemies be made his footstool. And so these verses in Hebrews brings out the fact that Jesus ascended back to the Father, and it was after sacrifice was made, after his work was completed, after salvation's plan was completed in his death and resurrection, and he is sitting at the right hand of God. It says in both of them, he by himself purged our sins. And he says in the second one, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he ascended and sat down at the right hand of God. His work in salvation's plan was done. Now we know he's not just sitting up there, per se, enjoying life. I imagine it is a wonderful thing to be sitting at the right hand of God, but he is, and we'll look at this a little later, he is busy even today, working on our behalf for our salvation. But it signaled an end of his ministry on earth. His plan, the reason for his coming was done, His work on earth in that aspect was done, and he ascended back to the Father. Number two, Jesus' ascension was needful for his work to spread. And we are looking into that in our Sunday school lesson as we study through Acts. Jesus said in John 14:12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." So Jesus was, through these chapters, he was preparing his disciples for his departure. He kept hinting at them and telling them plainly sometimes that he is going away, and that they would have work to do after he's gone. And here he says that you're going to do greater works than you've seen me do, because I'm going to leave. And what were some of those greater works? Well, we've studied some of them. We know that there was many miracles performed after Jesus' ascension. When the disciples went forth, the apostles went forth, there was many miracles. And just looking at some of them, I didn't write these down, but just thinking of some of these greater works that he was doing. On one occasion where it talks about that they would bring people in so that even just if the shadow of the apostle would fall on these people, they would be healed. Well, Jesus didn't do that. We don't read of it anyway, where the shadow of Jesus fell on somebody and they were healed. But no, that was something that happened as a sign that Jesus was working through these people. Another place talks about they would take the handkerchiefs and would just touch people or whatever with them, and that person would be healed. It was something that Peter and Paul, whoever it was there, I should have wrote that down exactly who it was, but they would just take the handkerchief or an apron or something that these people had worn and would touch people, and they would be healed. Well, the closest we come to that was when the lady touched the hem of Jesus' garment and was healed. But so in that aspect, it was probably some greater things happening than what happened while Jesus was here. But even more was the fact that there was 12 apostles, and then there was a whole multitude of people went out spreading the news of the gospel. And that was something that would not have happened had Jesus stayed here on earth. And so greater things were happening than was happening when Jesus was here. He says, it's because I go to my Father. So the work that Jesus started while he was here on earth, spreading the gospel, the message of the kingdom of God, went forth. There was many signs and wonders done by the apostles through the Holy Spirit. And today he equips men to continue to carry on his message, carry out his message of reconciliation to the lost. The gospel message continues to go forth with greater force than it did before the ascension. And so we are a part of that work of today, of carrying out the message, of doing these greater things. Now, as we read through the account of in Acts, not everywhere does these healings and those kind of things happen. But even today we read of various signs that God uses sometimes to confirm his message. And it's usually happening in persecuted countries or places where the gospel is resisted by the government, that God chooses to carry out these, we would call them spectacular or miraculous signs. And it's a confirmation of his gospel going forth even today in places where persecution is. Number three, Jesus' ascension was needful for the coming of the Holy Spirit. We see that in the verses 4-8. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but you continue in Jerusalem and you wait till the promise of the Holy Spirit comes. You stay there. And Jesus also was telling his disciples, John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. John 7:13 37-39, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And so Jesus, in his teaching there, John understood that as he wrote the gospel there, that he was actually telling them of the Spirit that would come. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And that is the work of the Spirit coming forth out of our lives. He says, and this hadn't happened yet because Jesus was not yet glorified, or that Jesus had not yet ascended. His glorification was his ascension. And so, as Jesus said, it is expedient. And that word expedient means it is better for you. It is better for you that I go away. And I'm sure at that point they couldn't quite grasp the why that would be better. But he says the reason is because then the Comforter will come. He says, if I go, I'll send him unto you. But if I don't depart, then he won't be sent to you. As long as Jesus was in the world, the Holy Spirit was not coming and abiding in the believers' lives as he was afterward. So Jesus is assuring his disciples of his presence through the indwelling Spirit after he ascended. And they understood it completely then there in the account of Acts where the Spirit came upon them. Number four, Jesus' ascension was a return to the Father. And Jesus brought this out to them many times. John 14:28, ye have heard how I said unto you, I will go away and come again to you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And I think Jesus was kind of maybe getting them to think, you know, you ought to be happy that I'm going away. A little bit like if somebody was visiting us and they said, well, I'm going to go home to visit. We would say, well, good. You know, that's a good thing for you to go back and visit your family. But yet, at the same time, maybe if we really appreciated them, we would feel a little at loss. You know, well, they're going to be gone for however long, you know. And if we didn't know when they were coming back, we would really feel lost. And that's a little bit how the disciples felt at this point. But Jesus said, you ought to rejoice because I said I'm going to go back to my Father. You ought to be happy for that. John 16:16, a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. And there he was telling them that you're not going to see me for a while, but I'm going to return. So I'm going to go to the Father. John 16:28, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. John 20:17, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my Father and go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And so Jesus came to the earth at his Father's will, and he returned again to his Father's side. His mission on earth was finished, and he was returning. And he said that should bring us joy, that he is going to his Father. He was going back. His work was done. And today we understand that a little more, I think, than what they did back then, as they were with him daily. I think we would feel lost, too, if we had been with the disciples there, or a disciple of him back there walking with him, and he's talking about going away and ascending to heaven. I think that would fill us with all kinds of questions. And so, but yeah. His ascension was a return to the Father. It was not a loss for them. It was something that they could take comfort in. And it's something that we take comfort in today. Number five, Jesus' ascension gave him a position of exaltation. And we sang that song, Crown Him with Many Crowns, the Lamb upon His Throne. Acts 2:33, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. And that is taken from the sermon there that Peter was preaching. He said that Jesus is now at the right hand of God exalted, and we have received the Holy Ghost just like he promised. And so everything was coming out just like Jesus said it would. And Peter understood now clearly what the implications of all that Jesus' teaching was. And so it was not something that he was wondering about anymore. He could preach this as certainty because he had experienced it. He had seen it happen. He had seen Jesus go up. And he understood the teachings of Jesus now, that this was a needful part of what was going to happen. And so he was preaching this to the people. Ephesians 1, 20 and 21, it's kind of breaking into a thought, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And you can't find a more exalted position than that, can you? Where you're far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. Your name is exalted above anything that's ever been in the world or anything that ever will come in the world. That is a position of exaltation, and that is his position today as he ascended into heaven. Philippians 2, 8 to 11, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We really understand the exalted position of Jesus today, and what that means for us. We serve this risen Savior. We serve him today. We serve not somebody who is our peer, we could say. Now Jesus, he humbled himself and became like unto us in bearing the infirmities of us. And we read that in Hebrews many places. And he talks about that there in Philippians. He says he was found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself. And so it wasn't like us he wasn't born with the sinful nature and of low degree like us. He humbled himself and became like us in that he took on the infirmities of human mankind so that he could be a merciful and faithful high priest. But as he carried out the work that his Father had for him, he says he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And because of all of that, and not only because of all that, but through all that, God exalted him. He says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Jesus humbled himself. He took on a lot. He came down from a very exalted position to walk among us and taste death for every man, he says. But today we see him crowned with glory and honor. He came in humility, lived the life of a servant. He walked on this earth as the poorest of men. His death brought us forgiveness. His resurrection brings us life. And someday we can share in the glory of his ascension. And we have that promise in Scripture. If you have suffered with him, you shall also be glorified with him. And so we look forward to that with anticipation. We can someday share in that glory in part. I don't think we'll share in it to the fullest extent that he is exalted, but we will be glorified with him if we are faithful. Number 6, Jesus' ascension gives us a heavenly mediator and high priest. Romans 8:34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. As we think of the condemnation that comes on mankind because of sin, he says that we don't have to face that condemnation. Christ died, and he says, yeah, he died, but more importantly, he's risen again, and he is today in at the right hand of God interceding for us. And so we have Jesus, our Redeemer through his death, our resurrection and life, and our intercessor. And so who is it that would condemn us? Who is going to condemn us when we put our faith and trust in Jesus? His ascension gives us that heavenly mediator and high priest. Hebrews 8, 1 and 2. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. You could sum it all up, he says, that we have a high priest. He's set at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heavens. And it seems there's more to that thought than I got written here. Yeah, a minister of the sanctuary, of which the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. And he goes on talking about this high priest. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, whereof it is necessity that this man have somewhat to offer. And so he goes on talking about how the Christ's work is brought out in the tabernacle that they had back then. And he is that faithful high priest. But he is a high priest, not of things pertaining to man, but of things pertaining to God. He is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens. So he's not a high priest serving here in the capacity that the old high priest did. And they had to make intercession for themselves first, a sacrifice for themselves. But Jesus didn't do that. He completed that sacrifice once and for all, and not for himself, but for our sins. And today he is interceding for us. He is a faithful and merciful high priest. What a blessing to know that we have a high priest who understands us and what we're going through. And it says in Hebrews also brings out that it behooved him to be made like unto us so that he could be that high priest. He saw the necessity of coming and living among man. He saw that that was a necessity so that he could understand us and be a merciful high priest. And so we can't say, well, he doesn't understand. You know, he never lived like us. He did live like us. He understands it. So he's a faithful and merciful high priest. We have a high priest who understands us. We have someone who intercedes on our behalf. That's a blessing to us. Because of him, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Number 7, the last one, Jesus' ascension gives us hope of a heavenly home and of eternity with him. John 14, 1-3, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So we have that blessed hope of a heavenly home someday. And if you want to know what that place looks like, just read through the end of Revelation. He describes our heavenly home. And we sing the song sometimes, our heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Well, that comes from the blessed hope that we have that Jesus gave us when he talked here in John 14. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there ye may be also. So we have that blessed hope. And we have the hope of eternity with him. It's not just a vacation home where we'll go for a few days and then come back. No, it's an eternal home prepared for us. You know, we go sometimes on trips and we'll maybe rent an Airbnb and we'll live in somebody else's house for a few days, maybe a week, and we enjoy that. We spend time together as a family or whatever, and it just, we can feel a little bit, maybe at home, away from home, but we know that that's not going to last long. Soon we'll return back to our regular home, our real home, and we'll go back to work and we'll be facing the challenges of life. Now, that's not the way this is. It's not just a rented Airbnb. It's a mansion eternal in heaven waiting for us. And when we move to that home, we'll never move again. We'll be at home then. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And so, like I said, it's not just a weekend vacation. It's not just a month away from our home here on earth. No, when Christ returns for us, we will forever be with the Lord if we are faithful to him here. It says, "We which are alive, the dead in Christ will rise, and we which are alive shall rise up together with them in the clouds." 1 John 3:2-3, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." He says, we are the sons of God now. That's not going to change necessarily. It's not like we're going to take on, but he says that we don't know exactly what it's going to be like, but we do know one thing. He says that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And 1 Corinthians 15 brings that out. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago. This whole thing of the incorruptible putting on, or the corruptible putting on incorruption, the mortal putting on immortality. So there's that change. He says it's going to happen in a twinkling of an eye. We shall be changed. And John brings that out, that one thing we can be assured is that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then he gives this thought. He says, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. In other words, we're going to do all we can to make that happen, to make sure that that happens, that we will be like him. We have that hope. We're not going to live carelessly. We're going to live in a way that we will be pure when he comes, even as he is pure. We look forward with anticipation to the day that Jesus will come again. But even as we anticipate this day, we're tempted to distractions and sins that would lead us away from that hope of life eternal. But like John says, may that hope cause us to valiantly press on, purifying ourselves so that we will be found faithful at his return. Revelation 3:21, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." So may we be found faithful to him so that when Jesus returns, we can also share in the glory of his ascension, ascend up to with him in the clouds to be with him forever. Let's kneel for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day you've blessed us with. Thank you for the brotherhood here. We can gather together and worship together and receive that encouragement together as we face life together. And Lord, as we've pondered this morning the great mystery of your ascension, the ascension of Jesus back to the Father, Lord, the hope that it gives us as he has left us many promises regarding this, that he will return again. Lord, I just pray that this hope would be alive and burning in our hearts, causing us to, as we read in devotions, to crucify self, to take up our cross and follow you. Lord, I just pray that each one of us would be found faithful at Christ's return. We can be glorified together with him. So help us as we go from here to live lives of victory, live lives that are reaching out to the lost around us and sharing in that blessed hope that we have. Grant us a beautiful Lord's Day. I pray in Jesus' name.